Just pause it for a minute. I'll give it until 5:59 or 6 or so. It's just before 6 o'clock, so I'll call a meeting to order at 6 o'clock. And we do have a quorum present with our three board members. And so we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and a moment of silence. And just a public announcement as a reminder that this meeting is being audio and video recorded, and it will appear on the district website at www.hdsd.org. And it's also live streamed if anyone's watching us at https://townhallstreams.com/towns/hdsd. And next, do we have any recognitions?
Yes, we do. Courtney Ford has been reelected
as the
representative. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, we'll look forward to having you serving us and attending meetings for an upcoming year.
I look forward to it as well.
After you get the summer off. And so thank you again. Any correspondence?
Yeah.
And student representative report. Do you have any...
She does get a pass for today.
I managed to get stuff from every
school. I know. When I talked to her, she said she had some thoughts. She's going above and beyond.
I did not plan on coming to this meeting. So I was going Friday, emailing everyone. So, for the elementary school, they had a fabulous end of the year on their moving up celebration for the fifth grade, where some parents were able to drive the access road and decorate their cars, many of which were beach-themed. I actually got to see some of them because we went on a walk in French, and they were fabulous. So that was very fun to see. They also had a DJ and Kona Ice, which was free for the fifth graders. I wanted free Kona Ice again, because we had it last year, and didn't get it this year, and I wanted it. And then at the middle school, they had close to 500 attendants for the eighth grade celebration, and over 50 parents and guardians attended the sixth and seventh grade awards on June 17th at 10. At the high school, we had a good end of the year, and Mr. O'Rourke is hoping students and staff will recharge over the summer and be ready for a good start to next year. The staff and student leaders are also working together over the summer to start planning some activities to begin the year with for next year. And that is all I have.
Well done.
Cool. Thank you very much for sharing on last minute notice as well. And I guess in the eighth grade also had a wonderful luau too. I think they all had fun in celebrating until, I don't think it was too late. I was there for a little bit.
It was past my bedtime.
Yeah, me too. I left and they were still celebrating and enjoying. So it was fun to see everyone enjoying that together in person. So thank you for that again, Courtney. And we have presentations from Superintendent.
Yes, tonight Stacy Vasquez was unable to join us, but Heather was going to present with her as well. So this came from the strategic plan when we did our progress report. There were many questions, and we felt that it would be beneficial for Heather to do just a quick snippet of this, and it will be something that throughout the year, next year, they will be reporting on. So, Heather. Heather Queen.
Which one? Garcia.
God. I'm sorry.
That one.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's that.
All right, I'm going to use the mouse over here. That's okay.
I still use that other name sometimes. It's been different for years and I still mess up. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the sources of behavior data that we use across the district. It's not exactly the same in each building. This is part of our work with MTSSB for data-based decision making, which is a humongous component of MTSS. So what we have been using at the middle school and at the elementary school this year is a system called SWIS. It stands for Student-Wide Information System. This is a data collection platform. It allows us to gather data and analyze data around student behavior, and we set the parameters around what it is that we're collecting data on and then how we use that data. As I said, we just started implementing this school year. And we can use that data to analyze how things are going at the student level, but also we can use it at a grade level or even at a building level. And I'm going to give you an example of that at the end about how we use that. So that's a main area of data that we are using. Other pieces that we're using, something called QuickBase, which is also a data collection platform. It is specific to Project Aware, so it's not something that we'll be doing when the grant expires, but it does collect some data for us around student mental health services in our buildings. It's not expensive data, but we do have to put that in. Our risk screening data we use, so risk screens are the procedures that we use when kids make a threat of harm against themselves or others. So we have like a standardized process that we go through, and we keep some basic data on the outcomes of that, date, time, building, and kind of what decisions were made based on that information. Attendance data we use discipline data, which is primarily suspension related data. That's the stuff that goes into web school. We do have some access to service data through Riverbend Community Mental Health. So if our students are seeing a therapist there and there is a consent on file between the parent and the school district and Riverbend, they can give us some basic service data such as ages of people who are accessing the services, what towns they live in, that kind of thing. So we have that information. And then we also have some access data from our programs. And so the example I put up here was the Zone, which is a program at the high school that we just started this year that's providing behavior support for students. But we collect data on student behavior in all of our programs across the district in all of our buildings. And so we have access to that as well if we need that for mainly for student level analysis and intervention planning. So I want to give you an example of how we're using SWIS. So with SWIS, we're using it to identify significant areas of need at the grade level. We do use it for intervention planning for students as well, but the example I'm going to give you is a grade level example. So what we tried to do this year was just get people on board with collecting that data and reporting it. The teachers did a really great job of doing that in both the middle and elementary schools. And then when we started seeing patterns in the behavior data, we look at it pretty frequently to see what is it telling us about what's going on in each building. And if we spotted areas of difficulty, we would develop an intervention plan around that and try to tackle that issue. And so then after we would do that, we could use this data to monitor how well that intervention was working. So the intervention information I'm going to give you here is the example from this. So this was at the middle school using the SWIS data in... it was over February break, actually. We looked at the data pretty closely and identified kind of a hotspot area of problematic behavior in a certain time frame of the day in a certain grade level. So we looked at the data for a 10-week period of time, which really brought us to like right before Christmas break up until February break. And we noticed that there were 45 major behavior referrals in that exact time frame in this grade level. A major behavior referral is a behavior that's so significant that a teacher needs assistance to handle it. So they've tried their strategies and their toolbox, so to speak, and the student's needs maybe are too great so that they need someone else to come in and help them with it. So that's what a major behavior referral is. So we had 45. So we developed an intervention, and the intervention consisted of changing the actual schedule within that time frame. There were three different activities that were happening, and it was about an hour and 15 minute time frame. So we actually reordered those activities in the master schedule. We also increased teacher supervision within that time frame, and we also increased the structure of activities within that time frame as well. So we did three basic levels of intervention there.
And then we just monitored same data to see what it told us. And after 10 wow. weeks, so from the beginning of March through beginning of June, we had 16 behavior referrals in that exact same time frame, in that grade level, you know, in that spot of time. And so that was a 66% reduction in referrals just from an intervention we did at the grade level. So that's the way that we're using our Swiss data. We're trying to kind of identify areas of need, design interventions, and then monitor the impact of those interventions to see if we're making any difference. And in this case, it made a humongous difference, which is great. That's what I have tonight. Any questions?
No, I think that's great. I like seeing the data, like, yeah. of what happened and the intervention.
Yeah,
yeah, that's really great.
Incredibly impressive. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. You can go ahead.
Just, you know, knowing, like, as a researcher, taking a problem, mm-hmm. implementing a solution, and then seeing if it worked, and wow. I did not expect 16.
No.
I expected a smaller reduction.
We didn't either.
I didn't expect 45.
The intervention was done by...
Well, I didn't expect 45
yeah,
either.
Like,
but like, it's a significant reduction. The intervention was designed with teachers' input, and it was not really all that complicated as an intervention, but it just made such a difference.
And that just makes me more happy that it had teacher input.
Me too. They must feel so empowered.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Especially
and then when we show them the data, because, you know, you wait and you collect the data, and then they get to see the outcome, and when you're living it every day, you don't necessarily know.
I was just going
to
say that.
That it's that powerful.
Yeah. Right.
But then you see the numbers, which is objective information, and it just kind of tells the story. So it's pretty
yeah.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's amazing. Thank you.
And you had mentioned that. Was that the middle school? Or
was
that
the middle school? Yeah.
Are there plans? Is it happening already that the similar models are taking place at the elementary school and then the high school? I know they're each different.
Yeah, we do use Swiss at the elementary school. We are, you know, really just learning how to use it and how to identify these kind of areas of difficulty or just, you know, or even areas of strength. So they have used it to do interventions at the elementary school. We don't use Swiss yet at the high school. There is an examination of a platform to use next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, yeah. That's, you know, it's nice to see those numbers. It's a good reduction.
Yeah.
Hopefully it continues. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Garcia.
Thank you, Heather.
So next we have Dr. Crawford and Alex Luchart. And this presentation is being put on because we've heard people really wondering what our professional evaluation plan is all about as we are getting prepared for another vote on the contract. We want to make sure that if people have any questions, they're able to get them answered.
So, just an overview of the professional growth and evaluation model that we use here in the district. The history and the foundation of it. So this is rooted in the Danielson framework for teaching. We have been using that as the foundation of our professional growth evaluation model for over 20 years here in the district. I think before you and I started, right, Heidi?
Mm-hmm.
So the Danielson framework has four domains. They're planning and preparation, the classroom environment, instruction, and professional responsibilities. The first iteration of the current model, which has the walkthroughs as part of it, was developed in 2012 as part of the school improvement grant process up at the high school, and then was later grown across the district as a whole. And it replaced the traditional pre-planned observation where everybody knew what was happening at the exact minute of the exact day with a walkthrough model. And part of the plan is that it has an annual review and revision meeting that we hold. And all evaluators in the district are able to be part of that meeting. And then there are, I've lost track, seven representatives from across all of the grade spans that come from the staff. So there are three tracks within the system. Track one is the beginning professional. This is anybody who is in their first 3 years in our district, regardless of how many years of experience they had coming in. All folks in track one participate in the new educator mentoring and induction program. All track one teachers have two formatives and one summative walkthrough assessment. So a formative walkthrough is usually about 10 minutes worth of time. Again, it's completely unannounced. A summative is for a much longer period of time, usually closer to 45 minutes. And that they have, there's a window that gets opened, so the exact time of it and which class is being observed is not something that's agreed upon in advance, but they get a heads up from the evaluator that, hey, sometime in the next, it's literally within the next week, I'll be in to do your observation. Mm-hmm. And then there's the option of a mid-year summative in each year of the 3 years that they're in track one, and that's the option of either the evaluator or the educator. And then all track one teachers participate in the student learning objective. Track two, continuing contract professionals. So this is after your first 3 years within the district. If you were rehired at that point for year four, you automatically become track two. There are three formative walkthroughs in years one and two of your recertification cycle. And in the third year, there's the two formative and the one summative. They participate in the student learning objectives every year. And there's my typo.
Maybe placed
on a support plan. So if somebody is on a support plan, they are still part of track two, and all of the things in track two are happening, but there are some specific targeted supports that are in place as well. And then we have track three, which is the professional assistance program, otherwise known as an improvement plan. And this is somebody who's experiencing difficulty meeting the basic level of standards of professional practice. And it's defined as a good faith effort to provide support and guide the employee to return to the level of competence set forth in the standards of professional practice. Again, meeting those things in the domains. And for each type of educator in the domain, there's a rubric that specifically lays out what everything looks like in the domains. And so you have the subcategories for planning and preparation, classroom environment, instruction, and professional responsibilities. So that's the basic framework of what the program looks like. There's a lot of very specific details about what is in a support plan, how long it lasts, who's involved in it, and then if somebody is moved to an improvement plan, a second evaluator is assigned by the superintendent at that point, and it becomes a much more structured support. And again, the idea behind it is growth, support, and improvement for everybody. But if somebody is not able to meet the goals that are set forth in an improvement plan, then they would not be continuing. So I'm going to let Alex talk a little bit.
I would just like to back up to that previous slide. Just for people that are unfamiliar with the Danielson domains, and this is available online, I believe.
Yes. Well, it will be shortly after this meeting tomorrow.
You can see all of the areas that an educator here at Hillsborough-Dearing is evaluated on. So each of these domain areas are those different sections, but it ranges from instruction to assessment to the organization of our physical space to communicating with families and engaging students in learning. So there's lots of different aspects that make up the evaluation criteria. This next slide, it just offers a summary. I know sometimes the details can get a little lost if you don't live in the system. So this slide is just to summarize over the course of a 3-year period, emphasizing what HD educators kind of experience as part of the evaluation program here. So collectively, there are 9 unannounced evaluative walkthrough observations that have embedded with them conversation reflective opportunities. There is as well the continual and ongoing just informal everyday evaluation of an educator's professional practice that could become the subject of evaluative conversations. So if a principal or assistant principal sees a professional in practice over and over again and has concerns even outside of the classroom, that could also be the basis of an evaluative conversation. Educators remain always subject to disciplinary action, The evaluation plan houses the walkthrough model and the criteria that we've discussed so far, but our CBA, our collective bargaining agreement, also has another set of provisions. Just in case there are any local or state code of conduct violations, those are more of your egregious issues versus performance issues. Those items would be subject to discipline action, which range from verbal and written warnings all the way up to an immediate dismissal. So that's another layer of evaluation and discipline that we have for HD educators. And of course, there's the separate but continuing and ongoing 3-year process for participating in professional development to earn recertification through the Department of Education. That is a separate process, but it does also kind of live within this same framework. The 3 years is patterned after that recertification cycle. The recertification is somewhat separate from performance, as recertification really is more based on ongoing professional development and training. But there is that final piece that the SAU checks off or not on the recertification through the state. One other point I'd like to address here in tonight's presentation is just the truth about teacher tenure. It's a term that's thrown out there a lot, talking about perhaps some misconceptions here about education and evaluation in New Hampshire. Educators who have been offered 5 consecutive contracts are considered to have earned tenure. There is no such word, tenure, that is used, but it's kind of the word that people informally use to describe being an experienced educator with 5 contracts under your belt, consecutive contracts. That is separate from our evaluation plan. Our evaluation plan has a 3-year cycle, but the state RSA goes with 5 years. All educators, emphasis on all, regardless of tenure status, are subject to all of the provisions of the evaluation program. So it does not matter if you are considered tenured or not, everyone is subjected to the same conditions, those 9 unannounced evaluative encounters with their administrator over a 3-year cycle. The only difference that exists between the evaluation of tenured and non-tenured educators is that non-tenured staff can be non-renewed without cause prior to earning their 5th contract. So it's generally a 1-sentence letter from the SAU, and that's really the only difference. If an educator has earned tenure, has already been issued that 5th contract, they can still be non-renewed, they can still be terminated, but at that point it must be established the cause of the non-renewal in that point of their career, and they must be given the opportunity to improve via a support and or improvement plan. That's the only difference, is the status of non-renewal for a non-tenured versus tenured educator. And then last but not least is just the role of HDFT. Our teachers union plays an important role and has played an important role in developing and supporting the integrity and implementation of the evaluation program in all of our Hillsborough-Deering schools. And we advocate for the integrity of this process. And really what we do is we advocate on behalf of the process first, that the process is respected. We don't want to see anyone not feeling supported or not being addressed if they are having performance issues as well. We're really defending the best possible education for our students. That also helps the general morale. And really, the onus on any evaluation program and having performance issues addressed with HD educators really rests upon those building administrators. The only role of the teachers' unions are just to, one, be a friend in those moments, to take notes, to ask questions, and just make sure that the process is being respected and followed. After that, it is up to that educator to meet those recommendations and meet that performance standard that we expect of all here, or they may need to move on.
So, and then the last point that we wanted to make, so we have this annual review and revision meeting that happens each year. And there have been considerable changes and tweaks that have happened over the last 10 years, but it has been 10 years since we brought this plan in. The original group, Heidi was a member of the original group that worked on developing it, worked with consultants from the Daniels group in order to develop this. It was considered very innovative to bring a walkthrough model in and marry it to the Danielson framework. But it's been 10 years since we've undertaken some real deep research and revision. And so one of the things that was decided at our meeting last month is that next year it's time to have a much deeper, more in-depth review and to look at what current research and best practices have to say to see whether or not there need to be any larger or more detailed changes that need to be made. And so Jenny LaLiberty, as the Director of Curriculum Instruction and Assessment, will be leading the team to, they'll be meeting more often. Usually we only meet one time a year and have that. But they're going to meet throughout the year next year to do some research. And we've had several administrators from several buildings this year who've been doing some professional development, taking a class with Kim Marshall, who is one of the, Charlotte Danielson and Kim Marshall are kind of like the two gurus of professional educator evaluations. And they've been taking a course with Kim Marshall so that all of that knowledge is going to be brought into this review process over the next year. Does anybody have any questions?
I have one question. And of all of the things that I was able to accomplish as a member of the staff here, this is one that I'm most proud of because it was almost all teacher-driven, and that's what I really appreciate about this plan. And I also really appreciate the use of Danielson. And as a specialist educator, it's not about curriculum. It's about all of those four parameters, which I teach them myself. My only question is there any thought to bringing back, it was tiresome, but I think it was extremely valuable in the self-reflection process, the artifact binder. Why was that taken out?
So that was one of the things that was in the initial iteration of the plan. And as the plan was expanded across the district as a whole, that was one of the things that got revised out of it. I think it's certainly going to be a topic of discussion about where that process fits as we look at the deeper revision. But it was part of it as we expanded from the first year that this plan was in place in 2012, it was only being utilized at the high school as a pilot, and then it moved out. And there's been a number of changes over the years. Various things, various timelines have changed. A lot of tweaking to the form. It probably looks a fair bit different than it did the last time the two of you saw. I know, Chris, you've seen it on paper, but not in practice. One of the other things that we've been able to do is have the rubrics are embedded in the online form itself, so those get, it's like a box that gets highlighted, which really helps show folks where the performance is falling in addition to it, trying to clarify all of those things.
Thank you. I think the walkthrough form is extremely valuable because the dog and pony show does not work. But also, if you don't know what the artifact binder was, it divided the four domains, and you had to give supportive evidence that that supported your work in those four areas. So that was why. It was a nice reflective process, but it was a lot of work. It was a big old binder, but thank you.
And I think one of the best improvements from the old to the new version was just the number of evaluation encounters.
Absolutely.
It upped it from 1 to 9 over a 3-year period, which allowed for an accumulation or affirmation of good work being done, and also opportunities to reflect for teachers that were meeting the standard, but also 9 opportunities to address professionals with performance issues.
I think what's important to note, though, as part of that process, it depended on the trust between administration and teaching staff to have walkthrough observations, because that was an element that is a lot of the time challenged by some schools because they don't have that level of trust to just have an administrator come into your classroom, even if you're standing on a piano. So I think that that's extremely valuable, and I really love that, Alex. Thank you.
And I guess a question / comment too, some of it's from the time I was on the committee, but in response to that part of having this framework in place helps with that trust, possibly, I think, because it's more consistent.
Remember, when we first brought it on, it's an entirely new concept, and everything had been pre-planned, pre-scheduled, and laid out in advance prior to this. So for 10 years now, we've had the walkthrough system where folks are being observed and being observed by all of the administrators within their building over the course of a year, hopefully. But the option of, you know, more than one person, more than one time, and being able to do that. And so that it is now considered, this is our practice. So there's less of the initial, but that was part of the bringing it on. Took a lot to get it to that point. And right. Like you said, I'm really proud of the work that people have done to develop this system. It's quite extraordinary how collaborative it's been the whole time.
So, yeah, so a teacher or staff member may not know exactly when that walkthrough is going to happen.
They don't know.
But they know what they're looking for, you know, and hopefully, I mean, it's stuff that they're doing regularly anyways. But having that framework takes the, if there's any nerves or anxiety out of it, I guess, if you will. As you said too, it's just to clarify, because you said it's a three-track rotation. It's a three-year rotation for the tracks, but it's every year they have some sort of evaluation.
Every educator in their first 3 years of employment with Hillsborough Deering is in track one. After 3 years, if you're asked back, then you automatically are in track. That's what track two means, is okay. Like you've made it past that probationary period. And you're in track two unless you're identified as needing an improvement plan. So a beginning educator who wasn't ready to go to track two isn't going to have their contract renewed.
And then and hopefully they don't get to track three, but if they get to track three, then potentially they'll be going back into track two.
The goal of track three is to provide the support and resources necessary for somebody to be able to begin performing up to the standards again. But if they don't, then they are also not going to be asked back.
Just my only other question I had too, when that, like, I was on that committee for a period of time, I think it was about a year or so, which I think Heidi is on that now. I can't remember who is on.
I think I am, yeah.
You're talking about the professional development.
That's
committee, which
a different
which has,
yeah, that's right.
Which is related, but it's not the same.
Not the
it's
same.
A different group.
And the group that works on this, is that a group that's selected within the administration as far as putting that together?
Yeah, every administrator in the district who is part of the evaluation process joins that meeting or has the right to join that meeting. Sometimes somebody has a other commitment. And then the Federation has a group that comes that is representative of all of the grade spans and Alex.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for nicely putting that together, too. If there's any other questions or...
Thank you.
That was
thank
really
you.
Nice, and so it will be up on the website tomorrow,
yes.
Right? Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, Carol's going to help us with that.
Okay, cool. Thank you again. Thank you, Carol. And so that's it for, do we have anything additional on presentations? And so we do have public comment. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak an opinion or thoughts? Joyce? I guess we know who you are and where you're from.
Thank you, Bill. I just had a question on the presentation. How many non-renewals have there been as a result of this? Approximately, I mean, and how many people in track three returned versus how many were not renewed? Are there any statistics on that or?
We can take that away. Thank you for sharing. And we don't necessarily respond to direct public comment.
But those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you. And I don't think, is there anyone else from the public who wishes to speak? Or? All right. So that
Chris, can I ask when you get that back to me on those questions?
If we choose to respond, you'll hear from us. Otherwise, you can always follow up as well with the SAU, with the superintendent. Thank you. So moving on, since there's no additional members of the public, the consent agenda. which is H. So we have the minutes from our last several meetings, starting with May 16th.
How is that?
Because we had tabled the May 16th meetings and the public hearing from May 16th, as both of them, as well as the minutes from the last meeting. And then we have an updated appointments, leaves, and resignations, which was distributed prior to the meeting, that is revised. So is there any need to pull that apart, or is there a motion to put the consent agenda to a vote?
So moved.
Second.
Second. And so no questions or discussions on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And no opposed? So 3-0-0. And so that's it for the consent agenda. So we'll look at the superintendent's report.
Okay, first question. Carol, Kathy, was there something that was coming through tonight for a request for building use?
It's the second page of that.
Oh.
Right there, get your hand on.
Thank you. We'll have to make sure we put this on.
I got copies of that. Did anyone else get copies?
It's oh, this is when I got the M. Oh, I was going to hand it out when we get to the memorandum, then. They're all attached to different things. Okay, I want to make sure we put that down so Kathy can get that. And that will require an action.
Building use request.
Okay. All right, so let's start.
I don't know if I can get this to work.
So this year, the Department of Ed, well, every year they hand out a critical shortage list of by certification for staff members. And then this year they're doing something a little bit different. They are allowing, with board approval, for us to declare local critical shortage areas. And so in order to do this, I have to come to the board and get you guys to support that. I am asking you to support a critical shortage area in early childhood education. We are currently in the process of hiring 3 preschool teachers. One is special ed certified, and we have the other two, but they are, I believe, both in need of going. One will be in need of going through this plan. A couple weeks ago, we were noticing that I believe it was Conval that was hiring for 4. Head Start was hiring one. They're just non-existent. So I would like to have you guys, that would be an action item to support this. And then what it is I will be dealing with the Department of Ed, and a local plan would be developed, like an all 4 kind of
situation. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was going to say, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So an alternative certification plan for an ECE person.
Yes.
Okay. Meaning that somebody that maybe works in a daycare area or something like that, or even elementary could then.
Even a special ed.
Or even special ed era. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
You got it. Okay.
Just want to clarify for those at home.
Well, for those, I guess, did you mention the RSA? There is an RSA that speaks to that, too,
yeah,
which was in
our
board packet.
It's in the packet. I read it.
Okay, so, again, mentioning it for all.
I think that's great. The DOD,
yeah, I think that's amazing.
All right, so in your packet, you had, I'd already brought to you the MOU for Washington for facilities, and in the packet is the IT one. And again, very similar. It's the same thing as last year. There are no changes at all in this one. And so I would be looking for your support in voting this through. I believe Washington has already voted, so I will just be looking for your signature on this. I'm just double checking. I think we did that at the last meeting. Okay, any questions on that one? Okay. The other piece is I just wanted to report to you on the summer offerings, on what is going on. So clearly we have extended year programming, all schools doing ESY beginning July 25th, although preschool starts a week earlier and they run through August 11th. The high school is also doing some summer school competency recovery. Middle school is focusing on improvement in math, science, and ELA for 6 through 8. And Then the elementary school is also doing some Title I programming, and that runs July 25th to August 11th. And I don't know how many years now we've been running this program, the Kinder Fund program, which is for incoming kids. It's been quite a while, hasn't it? Incoming kindergartners that will also be running. It doesn't say how many weeks, but I know it's typically 3 weeks, 3 days. Any questions? Need any further details, or does that just give you an idea of what's going on? Okay. So the next piece is... I have so many things. I want to just sit here because I can't find them all. is it attached to? Did I hand it out?
Yeah, the MOU of safety. Yeah, it's right. Yeah,
it's here. In the back.
It's towards the back.
It's towards the back. Okay. All right. So I think it's the one before that. Okay. This one is an appendix to policy JICD. When we recently were going through some items, we noticed that the last time this was signed was in June of 10, I believe, 2010.
Okay.
And nothing has changed. There's nothing. This is for your safe schools in order to be implementing that and all the different pieces that we have to follow. But it just felt like, you know, this really should just have a better date on it, at least annually, every 3 years, every five.
Yeah, that's
and I was able to meet with Chief Rorick, and he signed it, and I would love to be able to see the school board sign this as well, so that I'm handing off to Dr. Crawford not something that is quite an antique.
Okay.
So I would be looking. Any questions on that? Again, there are no changes to this than other one that the board previously signed.
Okay.
All right. Then the next one is the MOU, seeing the town is still going to provide a resource officer. They're looking at providing one 4 days a week, and then the fifth day there'll be more of a rotation of officers coming in and out. This was completed. I know Dr. Crawford and I sat down with Chief Rorick, and we questioned a few things, tweaked a few words, but again, he has already signed off on it. And just trying to make sure everything is up to date. We really need to keep things in some type of cycle so things aren't getting old, these forms. Hmm. And again, like I said, some of the language might have needed to be tweaked. So I don't know if there's any questions on that.
I just had the question about the under duties and responsibilities. So page 3, letter C, number 4. Oh, is it not working?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on you.
Oh.
It's okay.
Develops and updates lesson plans for and teaches law-related classes at each of the schools.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
is that a new addition? Or?
No, I thought we crossed that one off. Actually, but he does assist with I believe it's the health courses. Mm. You know, any of those courses that he can, he will go in and assist with. And I think it is the health, because then they're talking about different things from the drug related.
But I think you might want to change
that. It says that they develop curriculum, update lessons, and teach law related classes at all of the schools.
C4. Oh, okay. Boy.
We can take out...
C4 is always weird. Because everything else, I feel like, is reasonable. I mean,
I'd cross off all the... Even attend school meetings, I don't think, because I would leave it as school function, after school, events when possible, and the emergency management team and other teams as needed.
Yeah.
Okay, I can get him to re-sign that.
Yeah, that's...
Dr. Crawford, you okay? Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's
a really good one.
Okay, and if you could still just vote on it with that, it would be great so we can get that done.
Okay,
before I call you up, Mary, I'm just seeing if there was anything else I was supposed to do. I will talk, let me do Kathy's, the after-school program. Okay, I'm supposed to hand these out. So Kathy's program has moved to a nonprofit, and as such, she is then required to have to do a facilities use request. So that is what she's putting together, and I mean, I don't think any of us are at all going to argue the benefit of this program to our community. So now, this is just, is this just for the summer? And then you did on the back is the one for the school year. Okay, so she has put in two, one for the summer and one for the school year. And we are asking for all fees to be waived on this. She has had to go out, get her own insurance through the nonprofit, and nothing more. It is the same program, difference is it's a nonprofit right now. So that will require an action item.
Okay.
Any questions? No? Okay. And I think... Mary, I think you get to come up now.
Okay. As of right now, I'm projecting between $1.5 and $1.6 billion going back to the tax force based on everything we have. Right now, on our bottom line, we have $1.2 million. That's our budget that we haven't spent, and the remainder will come from revenues that we weren't anticipating. This is where that difference is. I also want to let you know that I have sent out to Deering and Hillsborough the updated apportionment that they owe us for the year. Hillsborough's has gone down by $522,000, and Deering's went up by $186,000. I want to tell you the biggest difference between this year is student population. Hillsborough's Deering's dropped by about 60 students, whereas Deering's went, I mean, Hillsborough's dropped, Deering's went up. So in doing that, it's shifting the formula. The amount of property values have also shifted in each of the towns, again, because the information that we use for the 22-23 tax rate setting with the DRA, DOE, and the town is based on a different year than what it is for 21-22. So I have pulled in all the current numbers from those years and used them to base my estimates on. Again, this can change. I think, if anything, it's going to change. There'll be more going back to the taxpayers, but that's based on the information I have today. That's what I want to say.
Which is?
The 1.6, between 1.5 and 1.6 million. I'm estimating it goes back to the taxpayers right now. What I used in my formula calculation was 1.56, I think, to go back. So... like I said, that can change when we go through our purchase orders at the end of the year and we determine that we're not going to spend some of that money, which is happening as we speak. So again, that would be added back into the bottom line because we're not utilizing that money this year. All those things. Now, remember, this also includes any monies that you guys decided to spend.
So it's already been factored into what you're reporting.
Okay. So that won't make any difference on it. So, yep.
And
so we're getting back more this year than we did last year.
Okay.
And just, I know that you've gone over it in the past too. I think we're all familiar with it, but just, I guess, for the record too, parts of that number, it's not, we didn't purposely set a budget that was going to generate a surplus that large.
No.
It was because of, like, mainly unfilled positions.
Yes.
that where teachers were covering for other positions and working probably a lot harder than they had to, which we thank them a lot for that. But that, you know, because we weren't paying for those open positions, it started to create that surplus as well.
Mary,
as
why don't expenses. You share where the, in broad,
yeah. Okay,
where
broad
this
numbers.
Is from?
The salaries and benefits is roughly a little over $900,000 in savings. And then we had tuition out of district that was $400,000. And that I want to commend Stacy and her team because that is huge to not have to send a student out of district. Again, like I said, that is just a really a great thing to have happen. The other thing I wanted to let you know, too, is there's a big difference in the amount of money that is being raised through the SWEP tax. There's a one-time deal right now in the state where we are saving, well, we are not raising $400,000 difference. This is another place where those discrepancies or those differences happen between the two towns. So Hillsborough-Deering made out much better. Or Hillsborough did. Hillsborough did. Deering did not. Like I said, there's a formula that they use to calculate that out, but that was another difference going into the 22-23 year. So, and I think that's about it.
Well, before you go on, I just want you to clarify the information that was at the last meeting. So it is different from what you just presented.
Yes, the information in the
last meeting. Not what you presented at the last meeting, but what had been presented to the board.
Yes. At the last meeting, you guys were given a sheet on information that talked about the tax rate increasing. The information on there is using last year's information, not the current year's information, and is missing some of the pieces to that puzzle. I'm not going to say it's all wrong, but I'm saying to you that the information that some of that was used was not the accurate current information. It's a better way to put that. Any questions? Anything else, Patty?
Well, no, you still have more to go.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Ask me if there's anything on that.
Nope.
And I guess just further quality, like a lot of those numbers do change and they are still very fluid. The out of district placement, you know, our special ed coordinator, our special ed director did a great job with keeping those costs down, but that could change pretty quickly, you know.
Not now. I think you're pretty good now.
Going into the
end of this year, I think your numbers are pretty solid.
Okay.
But you are correct. It can go easily have gone that way that was not budgeted
for. And I guess I was thinking, I was forgetting about the June 30th cutoff. I'm thinking more going forward into next year. Hopefully things stay, fingers crossed, where
she's
they are.
She's already getting, it's in your budget.
Okay.
But anything can change. You can have someone move in and make a change to your budget. Well, like I said, it is moving, but I also want to make sure everybody understands that when the tax rate is set, it's set between the DOE has to approve our numbers, and then we go to the DRA, the Department of Revenue, and we give them their numbers, and we go down through our revenues and everything again, double-checking it, and the town does the same, and then that's how the rate is set through the Department of Revenue Administration, with all those numbers between the towns and ours to determine what those rates are going to be.
And so how's that audit?
So, the audits. I'm working on completing them. The general fund is done. The funds for the grants are done. The only thing we are waiting on now is just some verifications. They're looking over some invoices on our student activity accounts to verify those. At this point, there are no findings on the general audit side. There were a few findings within the grants, but they were taken care of. So again, that, to me, is a win-win. But a lot of that has to do with changing over and different things like that. But going forward, it's good. And I think turning it over to Grant, I feel better knowing that he's going to have really good numbers to work with going into his new year. And the audit is scheduled already for October 3rd of this year, so it'll get done sooner, which is definitely a good thing to have it done, so that when the tax rate is set, you have really good information too. So, current information has been audited.
Keep going.
Thank you.
Just any questions on that? No. Okay. ESSER's update. As you know, ESSER's is moving along. We've got all our big projects underway right now. As you can see, there's some letters around and things like that. Most of our ESSER's 1 and 2 have been spent. We're down to a little bit less. On ESSER 3, but we're getting there. It's all being utilized, and it's gone a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
That's all I have for you guys.
Thank you, Barry.
No problem.
Cool. Thank you. Did anything else on Superintendent's report or anything else to add?
I think I've given you a lot.
All right, yes, you did. You did give us a lot of information, a lot to sift through. Actually, before we jump into board discussion, is there any questions on things mentioned by the board so far?
Nope.
And so board discussion, we'll hit the items that are there plus one more, and then we'll do public comment, and then we'll jump into the list of action items. So the board retreat, that's a quick one. It's 7/11, July 11th, on Monday, 4:30 to 6:30. I am meeting with Dr. Crawford next week to just go over what we were intending to be our agenda for that retreat, which right now I've got in my notes the strategic plan and aligning those with our board goals, so kind of a brainstorming session. Is there anything else that we should tack onto that list for my discussion when I meet with her in terms of what we're expecting for those couple of hours? Okay. So
I don't think so.
Okay. I just want to put that out there as that reminder. And then, delegate assembly, I don't think we need to revisit that. The resolution, call for resolutions is closed. We selected myself as the delegate, and then in August and September, we'll be going over how we stand on those resolutions. The third, I did pass out a draft letter to the editor, which I'm definitely looking for any suggestions, criticisms, comments just talking about the collective bargaining agreement, saying that we voted as a board unanimous to it, and just encouraging people to vote. So is there any discussion on that? Then I'd be looking for a vote to empower me to submit.
I concede to Jess because I was just going to say the opening should change, but I'm going to concede to the English professional.
This is working.
Oh. I don't think it is. Harry, you want to borrow mine?
Can you hear me now? I'm not using mine. Mine was working.
Can you hear me now?
Mine's broken.
Well, I think it's succinct, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
The title or the opening to the community, I just thought maybe something like dear fellow community members, like we're all, I don't want it to feel like an us them.
Okay.
And then the only other thing was, I'm not sure about the last two sentences in the first paragraph.
Hmm.
Only because it's redundant. We mm-hmm. already talk about voting unanimously, and then in the second paragraph, it talks about our firm belief that this is great. So, I don't know, it's a little too touchy-feely for me, I guess.
So, are you proposing that we just take those last two sentences out, or combine them into one, since we sort of already mentioned it, or...?
Well, it says that we voted...
Yeah.
I mean, the first sentence is that we voted unanimously, and then we talk about voting.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so we can put
that... I think you can get rid of that sentence.
It's two of them. So it's, this is...
I would get rid of this...
Plus it changed... It just changed to tense. So, like, right. This wasn't a decision we took lightly, but... I mean, we voted unanimously. I don't know. To me, I just didn't find those two sentences necessary. If we want to leave them in... That's fine. That was just my 2 cents, but the rest of it I thought was fine.
Yeah, the tenses are strange.
Yeah, so...
Voted. Took lightly.
Yeah.
And then take out the last sentence.
Tense, but I just don't think it's necessary.
I agree.
Striking the last two sentences in the paragraph. And I'm welcome to additions as well. Again, this is just a draft, and since we have to discuss and vote on it before it goes out.
And I like the dear fellow community members, and make sure you capitalize fellow community members.
Dear fellow community members. Anything in the second paragraph?
No, I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't put anything in here as far as signing it. How would we like to sign it? The Hillsborough Dairy Board, listing our names?
I think. Yeah.
That's fine.
I like that you pull out the voting tax.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Gentle reminder.
And then I'll list our names there too. Anything else that we want to add to that? Okay. Is there a motion for myself as the chair to act on this to make those changes in the submit?
So moved. Second.
Yeah, it's a fight for it. It's like rock, paper, scissors. and all those in favor?
Aye.
300. It feels weird doing 300. That with my three.
Because look how quick
Spartacus.
Yes.
Wait, that's not 300.
Anything else that we'll do it to the messenger? Any other newspapers that we should submit this to? Any places that you'd like us to submit?
Could we place it on social media?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then so messenger, should we do Concord Monitor and Monadnock too, or keep it to in town, or?
I think the messenger.
Town. Yeah, I think it's the messenger local. And social media should do it.
Yeah.
Messenger and social media. Okay. Cool. Anything
maybe
else?
The website?
Oh, yeah, good idea.
The HD website.
Yeah, the way this is written, I think maybe defer to, we're okay with posting this the way this is written. Because we're talking about the facts of it and just reminding people to vote.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I mean, we presented it twice. I feel like this just reiterates.
All right.
And reminds.
Anything else on that one? Mm-hmm. And then I just made a note to myself, too, just to say out loud, too, kind of asking our administrative person as well as the superintendent, is there anything else that we need to do as far as ballot clerks and ballot counters from the point of view of the board, or is that under all set? Because I know.
All set.
Okay. So cool. And then
a big thank you to Carol.
Thank you, Carol, for all of everything you've done.
She's kind of the best.
Yes. So, and just as a note for board members, you might individually get calls from me as it gets closer based on board member availability, too, if that changes. So, we'll hope for the health of all five board members.
Oh, okay. So, like,
it's coming
on the 12th, you mean?
On the 12th.
Because I'm 8-1 in Deering.
And correct. I'm 3-7, or whenever we get done.
So essentially, we may have, it'll upset things in Hillsborough a little bit potentially, but hopefully not. Fingers crossed. And
can Courtney count as a human?
Did you say as a human? As a human,
unicorn?
Right? She is. But I don't think she
is. I'm secretly a pig.
Oh, man.
Be careful saying that next to Heidi, though.
Yeah.
Just so. Because I kill my
cats. Okay, so we may have to, I mean, we can't be in two places at once.
Correct.
So.
We'll just have to double up and add time to the three of us if needed.
Do the
so.
Best you can.
Yeah, we'll be positive.
Yeah.
I'll run
I mean, we can't.
I volunteer to be like a food deliverer.
Oh, thank goodness.
I will do that.
Because it's going to be a long,
wait,
long
when is it?
Day.
July
12th. Oh, never mind. I'm not here.
Way to volunteer and then pull back on that.
I forgot I wasn't here.
We'll forgive you. And so got that. I think we already did what we needed to do to empower the superintendent for hiring over the summer, correct?
Yes.
Just wanted to make sure. And so next public comment. Is there anyone else who has a different topic, a new topic for public comment that would like to share? Going once, twice, three times.
A lady. Sorry, you said three times.
Didn't mean to. Did you want to speak to public comment?
Just one thing.
Or do you want to come forward now? That way we'll have some structure. As new topic.
I just want to say the supervisors of the checklist for Hillsborough are meeting on July 5th from 5 to 5:30 at night so that we don't have to meet on the 4th of July holiday on Saturday. We rarely, if ever, get any new voters, but if anyone is interested, we will be at the town office from 5 to 5:30, and then people are able to register to vote during the balloting. So from 8 to 7 for Deering and 7 to 7 for those who are on the 12th.
Thanks.
Okay.
As long as they bring all their material.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So now, I think that's it for public comment, and so now we'll move into action items. And so I will, I'm sure the superintendent will keep me honest, but I have my...
I have a list, too. I put them all on this side.
So the first one that I have is the critical staffing, and essentially you just need a motion from us to support you in
early childhood
adding
education.
Early childhood education as a critical staffing area.
I make a motion to support the early childhood licensure track as a critical shortage area.
And second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Three, zero, zero. So we're going to oppose the abstentions. And then our MOU for the Washington School
I move
District.
That we approve the Washington...
Is it finished? Okay.
IT MOU agreement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? Any further questions on this motion? So that being said, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And no opposed, no abstentions. So 3-0-0. And so the next one, I will do the appendix first, the appendix to JICDR, the Memorandum of Understanding regarding safe schools between the Hillsborough-Deering School District and the Police Department of the Town of Hillsborough, New Hampshire. I'll make that motion to approve that Memorandum of Understanding with no changes.
Second.
All those in, any discussion or questions first? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3-0-0. And so the next one would be the Memorandum of Understanding between the Hillsborough-Deering School District and Hillsborough Police Department regarding the SRO, the School Resource Officer, with the change to...
As amended.
C4.
Yeah, so as amended, deleting... So 4C.
Not deleting
four,
it.
Oh, no.
Amended. As
yeah,
amended.
Amending and removing C4?
No,
they're amending.
Okay. So, C4. So as amended. I'm as trying amended. To call it out. Trying to do too much. So I'll make that motion.
So moved.
And okay. So,
second.
Second. Sorry.
That's okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So, no opposed, no abstentions. 3-0-0. So we've got that.
Kid Adventures.
Yeah, we have
yeah,
two.
That's the okay. Kids Adventures and one of the
both the two for Kid Adventures.
Okay.
One is to waive the fees.
Well, one is for the summer and one's for the school year.
Right.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, because the fees are on each one, so we're waiving the fees on each for the summer and for the school year.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to actually. Do you want two separate motions, or can we do one?
I don't care what you do.
Make a motion to approve the facilities use request for Kids Adventures before and after school program for the summer and for the school year of
22-23. Second.
Any questions or discussion on that? And it does say on there that they want to waive fees and we're okay with that. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
So 3-0-0, no abstentions, no opposed.
We're a good team. Over
there. Yeah, we're going fine right here. So I think action items, I believe we are all set.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do need a non-public session.
Oh, we do?
So yeah, hopefully it'll be really short. So
okay.
So can we
let me pause this?
Do a roll call. Actually, we'll do a roll call first for roll call for non-public, which is RSA 91A32C.
Heidi Welch?
Here.
Thank you.
I mean, yes.
Jess Morris?
Yes.
Here.
Let me know Paul later.
Yeah.
Mike Kenny.
You want to
Chris Bober.
Okay. 3-0-0. Thank you all those for coming tonight, and we will have a good summer, and we'll see you in August.
Thank you, guys.
Actually, do we do roll call now? Roll call now to come out or after?
You can call Mike and say that.
Or...
You all said yes.
We all said yes.
Yes, we all agreed to come out.
We all said yes.
Yep.
Okay, so we're back in.
Yep.
Do we need the video for a minute or just the audio?
Oh.
It's going to take forever to go back on, isn't it?
I guess it is what it is. Let's actually walk back to a chair and we'll see where it's at. Actually, because that's all we have, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We're back in public session. Motion to accept All right, motion to have the superintendent act on what we decided during non-public session.
Second.
Yeah, so all in favor.
Aye.
3-0-0.
Motion to adjourn.
I was going to say any additional.
She's Nick Courtney back in.
She's fine. She's like a puppy in the window. Can I get in?
She's not human, so she's not allowed to.
Tiny
talk.
All right.
All right, so motion on the table for adjournment.
Second.
Jen, can you go
all
get
those in favor?
Hi.